Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will be continuing in his series from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 29, with a message entitled, Reproach, Riches, and Reward. Lord, bless your work, we pray, and strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Faith. We consider this as our subject once again as we come to Hebrews chapter 11. We hear from the Apostle Paul in Romans that faith, it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And from the hand of Paul also, when he wrote to the church of Ephesus, he told us and them that we are saved by God's grace. But the agency of that kindness of God, of the mercy of God, the extension of God's hand, that the means or the agency, the channel through which that grace flows is faith. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith is absolutely integral. It is taking God at His word. When all other voices are saying, no, that is not the way that you should go. It is setting the value upon God's word, and it is esteeming what God has said as preeminent above all of the other voices of God, of this world. As we have made our way through Hebrews chapter 11, what we call the hall of faith, we have examined numerous Old Testament personages, both men and women, who lived their lives by faith. No, they were not perfect people, but they received the approval that is of more value than any approval, the approval of God, rather than the approval of a culture which is for a time and then passes away, of an empire or a kingdom, some throne of this world. We esteem the value of God as preeminent. So we come now to Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 24 to 29, and we continue in the life of Moses. Previously, we looked at verse 23, where it said, by faith Moses, when he was born. Now, that verse does not talk so much about the faith of Moses, but the faith of his parents and what they infused into Moses in those opening days of his life. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. They were not afraid of what Pharaoh had to say on the matter. When Pharaoh decreed, his edict was that all of the male children born into a Hebrew home, they were to be tossed into the Nile River, there to perish. Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed, they esteemed that God was going to care for them, watch over them, look after both them and their child, and that even if God was to allow them to perish, that it was better to gain God's approval rather than the approval of Pharaoh or of anyone else round about them. Now we come, and let me read, beginning with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt,
not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover by the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. What a great account. Moses, we must remind ourselves, lived large and continues to live very large in the Jewish mind. Abram, he was the man who was the father of the Jewish people, Father Abraham. But Moses, he was the great prophet. He was the lawgiver. He was the one through whom God worked the redemption, the bringing out of the people from their bondage in Egypt. And he was the one who brought them up to the very edge of the promised land, patiently bearing with them all the way through those 40 difficult years in which they endured. Moses, we could say, by the commandment of God, but we need to look behind those commandments and see the faith that Moses had in God. Moses is to be remembered supremely more than simply one who gave a whole lot of nitpicky rules to the people, passing them from God to the people. Now, those rules were for the good of those people. They were instructive. And we must be very careful that we do not demean them, look down upon them. They were a part of the purpose of God. But let us look very carefully to what is written here in these six verses about Moses, not as an infant under the care of his parents, but rather grown up, making decisions as to which way he would go and what values he would esteem and how that he would live and how we rightly remember him. So once again, we pick it up at verse 24 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, for 40 years he has been in Pharaoh's court and in Pharaoh's house, in Pharaoh's palace. He has been not the son of Jochebed and Amram, mom and dad, but he has been the son of Pharaoh's daughter, a privileged position. He went to the best schools. He had the best food to eat. He had everything that was the finest of the finest. Egypt was in its supremacy during this time. And so whatever Egypt couldn't provide, they would buy from other kingdoms and from other directions, from other traders, and they had anything that they wanted. Moses, it's difficult for us to understand the opulence of the surroundings which he was enveloped in. But when he had grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Surely that was a scandalous thing, that Moses would reject all of this. I'm sure that many called for the psychiatrists and said, "You need to help this man Moses. He has absolutely lost any marbles he ever had. He has gone crazy. Please help him." He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I'm sure that there were voices that were raised and said, "Moses, you are a fool. You are an utter fool. You are ungrateful. You are filled with ingratitude? Moses, you need to give your head a shake and consider all that you are leaving behind. But Moses, we read in verse 25, when he refuses to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he is making a choice. He is choosing, specifically choosing. That is for you and for me as well. Do we choose to walk in God's way, or do we choose that which naturally in our sinful nature, which has tainted us to the very core? Do we walk in our own sinful nature? Jesus spoke at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. He spoke of two builders, one who built upon the sand and one who built upon the rock, each of them wanting a home. But the one who built upon the sand thought, well, this is good. It's scenic. It's a beautiful perspective. And this will work perfectly fine. And he builds upon the sand. The winds and the rain come. And there is utter destruction because there was no foundation. But the man who built upon the rock, he considered that there needed to be a foundation. He chose wisely. The book of Proverbs constantly is beckoning us to choose wisdom and to use the brains that God has graciously given us, that we might make wise choices, that we might go in God's direction. And so here, Moses, he makes a choice. He sees that on the one hand, there is the privileges that he has grown up with and that he has enjoyed. And on the other hand, there is ill treatment with his kinfolk, with his blood relatives. There are those who have adopted him into his family, but there is that strong pull of blood kinship. Those who are being ill-treated. Well, Moses, he makes a choice and he says to Pharaoh's daughter and to all that he has enjoyed to this point, he says, thank you, but no thank you. He chooses to endure ill-treatment with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, the passing pleasures of sin. Have you ever heard it said that there are no pleasures in sin? That is a blatant lie. The very reason that sin is such a temptation is that there are pleasures in sin. Our flesh craves for those things. And our sinful, depraved minds, we reach out and our senses lurch and jump at those temptations, those sinful pleasures. They are pleasing, but what Hebrews here says, passing, passing, just for a moment, just for a little bit of time, and then the sweetness is all gone. And we are left to wonder, what was it that was so tantalizing when the aftertaste, when the bitterness sets in, when the reproach, when the shame, the guilt, the rot sets in? Moses, he saw the one and he saw the other. The opulence of Pharaoh's court, he realized that it was passing. But he saw, even though at the moment that there was ill treatment, He saw that there was something which God was doing which would last. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. There are many times when what we plainly see in front of us reaches deep within us, and we say with all of our being, "Oh, that looks good." But that is walking by sight, by what's right in front of us. And by and large, the voices of this world, when they press in upon us and say, "Come on, why in the world would you not grab a hold of what is right in front of you? Doesn't that look good? Don't you want that?" And within ourselves, in our sinful old man, we say, "Yes, indeed." However, when we are walking not by sight, but we are walking by faith in what God holds out to us, there is another set of eyes, and there is another perception that kicks in. And when we are attending to God's word, we see beyond that which is immediately before us, and we see what God is offering to us. He is asking that we look beyond what is immediately before us, and that we go for that which is right and pleasing and good in his esteem. Moses, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, as real as they might have been. You remember Joseph, he was also in Egypt, and Potiphar's wife, she was saying, "Come on, Joseph, let's share a little bit of time together." And Joseph said, "No, no, no." Joseph, he was walking by faith rather than by sight. I'm sure everyone round about him said, "Joseph, here's an opportunity. You should take it. I'd be glad for such an opportunity." But Joseph said, "How could I do such a thing and sin against God?" Joseph would have none of it. He paid a heavy price for that, but we have esteemed him ever since, and he gained God's approval. Moses, in this very same way, setting aside the passing pleasures of sin, because he considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. I've entitled this Reproach, Riches, Reward, and it's all bound up in verse 26. This is what Moses had deep within his heart as he sets aside the privilege and the connection of being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He considered what was really in his head and in his heart. He regarded that the reproach of Christ, that was a rich storehouse of treasure that was infinitely greater than the treasures of Egypt. Now, that points out that he was walking by faith and not by sight. Any human with eyeballs in their head could see the riches of Egypt. They could see the gold, they could see the servants, they could see the pyramids, and they could see the lavish temples and buildings and all that went with it. They saw the Hebrews who were slaves, and they said, "Moses, you want to align yourself with these despised people? These people who have the lash and the whip on their back? These who have been pressed into service, these who are having their firstborn baby boys, their baby boys thrown into the Nile River, you want to align yourself with them? Moses was considering what others just could not see. He was walking by faith, by faith. He was looking to the reward that Christ and God would surely give him. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Here Moses is showing himself to be a true son of Amram and Jochebed. You remember what it said about them in verse 23. They were not afraid of the king's edict. They were not afraid of Pharaoh's word on the matter about throwing the boys into the Nile River. Here, Moses, 40 years on, Moses, he leaves Egypt, and he was not fearful of the wrath of the king of Pharaoh. And Moses, he endured. He just pressed on. And he kept on going on in this direction of faith. Perhaps others would say, well, Moses, now you've tried this for a little bit. Any regrets? Any second thoughts about what you have chosen to do? Any buyer's regret, as we say at times? You buy something and you think, oh, maybe that wasn't such a good purchase after all. I thought it was all good and fine, but after you have it in your hands, there's that buyer's regret. Moses, any buyer's regret? You've bought into this path. You've bought into this new life of yours. You're walking, as you say, by faith rather than by sight. Any regrets? Would you like to reconsider? By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. He pressed on as seeing him who is unseen. He comes back and he leads the people. God gives them the Passover. It says in verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch those Hebrews and even the Egyptians, we read. Those Egyptians who feared the God of the Hebrews, and they attended and they prepared a Passover in their homes with the blood upon the doorposts and upon the lintel, that their homes might be protected as well. Verse 29, now the 6 million or so people there out of Egypt, Moses is leading them forward, but they come to a particular point where they are hemmed in. They are in a corner. There seems to be nowhere to go. And the worst part of it is that Pharaoh, he has had regret about the decisions he has made. He let the people go, and along with his servants, they are holding their heads saying, what in the world have we done? Why did we let them go? We've got to get them back. So Pharaoh sets out with his army, and he's in hot pursuit of the people. The people see that they are in a corner. They're hemmed in. The sea is right there. They have nowhere to go, and Pharaoh's army is pressing in upon them. God, in that pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, he comes and he places himself in between the Hebrews and Pharaoh's approach. And Moses is told, Moses, part the sea with your staff and rod. And Moses does that. And the people, they go through the sea on dry land with great walls of water on their right hand and on their left. By faith they passed through. They had no one to trust but in God, and they were passing through the sea as though they were passing through dry land. And God brought them through and up on the other side. The Egyptians, they think, great, don't understand this, but here is an opportunity. The people, they went through as on dry land. Pharaoh goes down into that same channel that had opened up, and he's making his way along, as are the troops that are following after him. We read in Exodus that God caused the chariot wheels to swerve and things started to go wrong. And the Egyptians, they cry out, "The God of the Hebrews is fighting for them." They try to escape, but Moses, again, he waves his staff, and the waters which have been restrained for a short time, they come crashing down, and all of Pharaoh's army is destroyed. And the Hebrews would later see them washed up upon the shore. God had said through Moses, "These who you have seen, you shall see no more." The people were safe on the other side, God having brought them through. What was the difference? There was that channel for both of them. They both went down in, the children of Israel, as well as Pharaoh's troops. The one by faith. The one by faith. The other knew nothing of faith. They knew of their strong arm, and that was what they were trusting in, and that was their undoing. Dear friend, are you walking by faith in the Lamb of God? Are you walking, trusting in the riches that God has for you, in His loving kindness and in His mercy? He would hold that out for you. Yes, there may be reproach of going in God's way, for this world, it's not a friend of grace. But I declare to you that there is far greater riches, far greater riches in going in God's direction. Just keep looking to the reward. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this further encouragement about how that we are to walk by faith and trust in you. So Lord, stir within our hearts and receive praise, honor, and glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for joining us for Hearts to Believe. Let me remind you of our current free offer. It is a book project entitled The Sermons in the Sermon, and it has the bonus of audio CDs with it. This series of messages from the book of Acts especially focuses upon the preaching of Peter, Stephen, Philip, and Paul. These messages, long or short, were the focus and have been taken to include in 21 brief messages in this book. The CDs contain scripture readings from the King James Version taken from the book of Acts. You will enjoy and be blessed by this presentation. You may ask for it. It will be sent free and postage paid when you write to Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C 2H6. Or you may call us at 1-833-367-3852. Hearts to Believe is an extension of the Faith to Live By radio and television ministry based in Winnipeg with Pastor Jim Barber. We leave you with the Apostle Peter's benediction. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.